Before I read the scripture today, I want to make a comment starting into it because it starts with a pronoun, and if you don't read before it, you don't know who the pronoun refers to. What had happened right before the passage that I'm going to read? Jesus Christ is on his last night with his disciples. He is sharing with them some teachings, sharing with them some understanding, sharing with them some helps, because he knows that he's not going to be with them after tomorrow. What has happened right before this is he has said that there is one who will betray him, speaking of Judas Iscariot. And right before the passage where I'm going to read today, he has told Judas, go and do what you have promised. And Judas has left. So the only disciples that are there at this time are the 11. Judas Iscariot has left. So the passage starts, it says, when he had gone, meaning when Judas had left, and I want you to be able to understand that pronoun. When he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. One of the things that I've been sharing on Sunday mornings and we've been talking about in our Principles of Faith time at 9 o'clock is I've been talking about getting into the Word and spending time in the Word of God to try to understand it better. And a couple of weeks ago, I taught you how to do divine reading, a sense of reading that has been done for thousands of years, a very simple process of just reading and concentrating on a short, simple piece that comes forward as you read from it. And then spending some time with that, meditating on it, chewing upon it, trying to understand it a little bit better. And I say all this to you because the very first thing that hit me as I spent time with this passage this week was it says, a new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you. And I really had to pause and ask the question, a new commandment? Wait a minute. A new commandment? Isn't that what Jesus says? He says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, those first words should stop us. If you know your scriptures and you understand what God has been about throughout the history of humanity, you know that God has always been about trying to share love with his creation and trying to get his creation to share love with each other. So I really paused. Wait a minute, a new commandment? Why does Jesus say that this is a new commandment? God's word talks about loving your neighbor in Leviticus 19:18. Listen to these words from Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You see, in Leviticus, it already says to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that means a whole lot of things also for us to understand and to grab a hold of, because if I don't have a good understanding of myself and I don't have a good understanding of loving myself for who I am, it makes it very hard for loving other people. Because if I go about my life being angry and grouchy at myself and being disappointed in myself, it's going to be much harder to love other people. Because in my bitterness, it's going to be a hard place for love to be. So if the word was already shared back in Leviticus to love your neighbor as yourself, why does Jesus say this is a new commandment? That should make us think, shouldn't it? That should make us pause and go, what is he talking about now? Something new? The scriptures already say that, Jesus. Well, I want to define for you first a definition of love that I have become very comfortable with. To me, this is the definition of love as I study all through Scripture. Love is looking out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs you. Love is looking out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs you. To me, that's what love is for another person. If you want to be about loving someone, what you're doing is you're trying to find out what would be in their best interest. Okay? My youngest grandson right now is 4. It would not be in his best interest for me to give him a pocket knife. It would not be in my son or my daughter-in-law's best interest for me to give Theo a pocket knife. I love him deep enough, and he's not old enough, I don't think, and mature enough to understand how to properly use a pocket knife. Now, he eventually, I know he asked me last time we were there seeing them, he asked me, so what's in your pocket? And I told him, I said, well, we got to get our shoes on to go somewhere. Go get your shoes on, and we'll sit down and look at what's in my pocket. Because normally I carry in my pocket a flashlight, a knife, a pair of tweezers, some keys, a pen. Let's see, what else is there? A metal toothpick in case I need it, and a small little multi-tool that I can use to fix things if I need to. Yes, I was a Boy Scout, okay? Be prepared is my motto still at 60 years old. And he felt that in my pocket. He said, what's in your pocket, Rufus? Because they call me Rufus, most of you know. And I told him, I said, I'll show you here in a minute. And then we got busy. I didn't mean to put him off. But I can only imagine that as he would see those things, well, Rufus has got one, I want one too. You see, in his best interest right now is not for him to have all the same tools that I carry in my pocket. And it's because I love him. It would take him some time to understand these things and to gather them. I love my wife. I'm always looking out for her best interest. Has it cost me at times? Yes, it has cost me. But because I love her and have that kind of concern for her, I am willing to go that step where it cost me. To me, that's what love is. And that's what God is asking us to share with one another, is that kind of love that looks out for the other person's best interest. Now, does that mean it's something I like and enjoy doing? Sometimes, probably not. Okay? We moved here. My wife asked me, she says, as part of the house and doing things here at the house, can you help out by vacuuming? Yes, I hate vacuuming. I'll just say that right off the bat. Hate it, and I'll quote somebody else, I could walk on dust bunnies the whole rest of my life and it wouldn't bother me. But because I love her, I'll do what she asked me to do. Because I care for her and want the best interests of our relationship, I do what she asked. I also wash dishes, by the way, every night after supper. But I only do that because she allows me to play in the bubbles if I wash dishes. You see, love is looking out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs me. And it doesn't mean it has to be something I like to do. Well, is that not what Jesus did? Jesus gave his life to demonstrate his love for humanity. Did he want to give his life on the cross? Scripture tells me quite clearly that Jesus did not want to do that. He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane and says, Lord, if there's any possible way for relationship with humanity to be restored without me going to the cross to die, please bring it about. And he finishes that prayer by saying, but Lord, your will be done, not mine. You see, God loved humanity so much that God was willing to say, to put your best interest at hand, I will pay a cost. I will offer up my son as an atonement for your sins. Jesus gave his life to demonstrate that love. I'm looking out for your best interest, Jesus says on the cross. And I'm willing to give myself completely, totally, all, everything I've got. So I sat down and I thought about understanding this and grabbing a hold of this in that love was already talked about in the beginning of the Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't bear a grudge. Ooh, that one's tough. Don't seek revenge. That one's tough too, isn't it? Isn't that where we want to go sometimes? Love. Look out for the other person's best interest in spite of what they do to you. In spite of how they treat you. In spite of how they talk to you. In spite of what they do. Look out for their best interest. And Jesus says, this is a new commandment I give to you. So the new commandment for me must be about following Jesus' example of love. You see, earlier in the Bible, it doesn't talk about giving your life. It says express love. Show love to one another as you love yourself. Now Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says this love must be so deep, must be so powerful that you are willing to give your life for another person. That must be the new commandment. It's not so much the love, it's how you express the love and how deep you express that love. Jesus was willing to give his life. I mean, I think about this often, especially as I hear people say, I got rights. Jesus gave up every one of his rights. Every one of them. Left heaven He had the prime seat in heaven and he left it. And he says, I come to this earth because I love you so much that I will die for you to set right a wrong relationship with God right now. Are we showing that kind of love for one another? Because I really think that this is the new commandment. It's about showing love that will lay down a life for someone else. Now, I know some of you probably will tell me, I'll lay down my life for my spouse. I'll lay down my life for my children, for my parents, for my grandparents. But Jesus laid down his life for everyone. Even the most cruel and hateful people, Jesus laid his life down for. Are we willing to do the same? That's the new commandment. To show love in that way. I had a seminary professor that used to say often, there's really only one thing that the church has been given by God that this world really needs, and that's love. And so often the churches are not showing it. They might show love to people in their families. They might show love to people within their community of faith in the church that they're a member at. They might show love to those that are in other churches. By the way, we're not in competition with other churches. We are not in competition with other churches. As churches, we should be working together to spread this love to a community that needs it so deeply. Some of these people have never seen someone love them to the depth that Jesus loved humanity. What can change this world? We can. One person at a time, allowing the love of God to come into us and flow out from us to the people that need to receive that love. The problem is sometimes we keep it all right inside these walls. And we go out and we go to go grocery shopping or we go shopping somewhere and we're just as biteful and hateful as everybody else that's shopping. People wouldn't be able to tell that some people who come to church even come to church by the way they act outside the building. Folks, are we sharing this love? Because the new commandment is about sharing a love with people as Jesus did. So I came to realize as I meditated on this week, that giving myself with Jesus' kind of love, giving myself with Jesus' kind of love for others will cost my life. If I'm going to demonstrate and share the kind of love that Jesus Christ shared with this world, it's going to cost me my life. Now, it may not mean that I hang upon the cross crucified. It may not mean that I'm martyred. But it means that my life is going to be centered on sharing love with other people over and above everything else that I enjoy doing. What did I tell you the definition of love was? Love is looking out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs you. Do you realize that there's somebody out there right now that's going to die today without Jesus Christ? And it may be because somebody never shared them love. And that won't be the only someone who dies today without Jesus Christ. If we believe our Bibles, we understand that they don't get to go to heaven. The new commandment is about sharing love like Jesus Christ did. It's not just about loving your neighbor. It's about sharing it in such a way that we use up our lives to help people understand the love that God has for them. So I ask you this question to think about. Am I willing to be counter-cultural to express love as Jesus did? Am I willing to be counter-cultural? Means going against the stream of how society is. Look at what's happening around the world right now. What's happening in Ukraine is not about love. And that's not the only place that's happening. It's happening in Israel too. The Israelis are doing it to the Palestinians in the same way that things are happening in Ukraine. But we don't hear that about that on the news because, oh, we want to support the Jewish people. How do I support people that are not showing love? Are you willing to be countercultural and express love as Jesus did? Are you willing? Let us pray. Lord, this new commandment is a tough thing. Oftentimes we proclaim to folks that we do love, but I guess the question is, as Christians, are we loving like Jesus did? He's our example par excellence. And he asked us to live the same way that he lived. And yet sometimes we choose not to share that love. And sometimes we choose to do the exact opposite of what you said from the beginning of time. We choose to bear a grudge. We choose to seek revenge. We choose to give them what they deserve because of what they gave to me. Lord, help us to live this new commandment. This commandment that says, give your life for all of humanity, that they might come to know the Christ and have salvation and eternal life. Show us how to live that love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.